Welcome to the Just Keep Spinning podcast. This is Andrea.
Andrew.
And just want to get it out of the way. Of course, our Instagram is Arizona Records United. If you have anything you want to email to us, suggestion, good mail, hate mail, whatever, topic suggestion, whatever it is, you want to just, you know, put a little input, it's justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. And we actually have the link to the Audio Boom.
On the Instagram.
Yeah, on the Instagram. I don't know. Couldn't think there for a second. But let's get started. And what are the events for today?
So we're going to start with events this week. Let's go ahead and take a look. We have the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones on Tuesday, July 3rd at the Van Buren. The entry is $27. Before fees and all that good jazz.
What was their like big, you know, hit or whatever?
The doors open at 8 and it's 13 plus. You know, I believe their big hit was something about knocking on wood. That's the only thing I know about. Okay. I don't know the song.
I hope we're not completely wrong about that, but I'm pretty confident. Yeah,
so if you're a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones listener, I mean,
we're not trying to like rag on them.
Yeah, we're not trying to rag on them.
We're highlighting the event.
Yeah, so we just don't want to pay $27 to knock on wood.
Exactly. Can knock on some for free right now. And another awesome event is on July 4th. It's from 5:15 to 10. It's at the Looster Rooftop Bar on 2nd Street in Jefferson, which I believe is in Cityscape at Hotel Palomar. DJ Stony Pie is going to be playing, so obviously it's just going to be pretty good set. And I don't know. I'm sure there's more stuff going on 4th of July, but that was the main one that I wanted to highlight.
Okay, on July 6th at the Van Buren again, it's Goth Night. Entry is $3. All proceeds benefit the Phoenix Pride event. They're going to have some goth DJs and highlighting some stuff.
Yeah, stuff for a good cause, right?
Yeah, stuff for a good cause. It's First Friday, so there's going to be a lot going on First Fridays. Also, there's New Grand Friday at Third Space on Friday, July 6th as well. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's 21 and over. There's no cover. The Avenue of the Arts crew will be doing most of the entertainment. It has about 10 DJs from what I read. They're going to be playing all night. So I believe it's being broadcast on 101.1 The Beat as well.
Which is actually a pretty cool radio station because sometimes, do you ever listen to like FM radio?
Yeah. I've all listened to 104.3, Mega 104.3, which is like the oldie station most of the time.
Yeah, love Mega. They played like the good hits from back in the day. And then 101.1, I noticed their format seems like they kind of play like old school or a little, I don't want to say more offbeat, but just not just the hits of like older, I guess you say like rap, hip hop, R&B stuff. So I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the events, I just have a few more. Like he said, it's First Friday, so there's going to be the usual things going on. Crates has something every Friday, especially First Friday, right? Crates,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, we do this on Sunday nights, so things will come out Tuesday and Wednesday. So, you know, any events we do miss, we apologize. We try to find as many events as we can online. If you're one of those places like Crates or Bikini Lounge or a local DJ that knows they're playing this week. Let us know and we'll make sure we mention it in our event rundown.
Yeah, in our event rundown, or we'll probably just be highlighting some stuff in the story because I know some people get annoyed when you constantly post events in an actual post. So I think putting them in the story is a good way so that, you know, people click the story and it just comes and goes.
Yeah.
So I'll be highlighting some in there. So I just have a few more things I want to go over. So on Saturday, July 7th at the Rebel Lounge, it's going to be Las Choyas Peligrosas and the Stakes. And it's $10 to get in. It starts at 7, but it's all going to a good cause. It's the event is called We Do Really Care, Do You? A Benefit for Immigrant Children. And right after that, it looks like it begins at 10 p.m. is going to be a retrowave dance event. So they're not the same. They're not connected, but it is also going on at the Rebel Lounge same day. And the it's actually, I believe, Frida Kahlo's birthday this weekend. So there's going to be a big old thing plus the First Friday stuff. It's the Fiesta de la Frida presented by the Phoenix Fridas. So on Friday, July 6th, there's going to be a dance party and drag show. It starts at 8. It's $7 to get in, 21 and over. And that's at Aqua Nightclub. and which is on 7th Street in McDowell. And let's see, on Saturday, July 7th, which is a continuation of the Fiesta de la Frida events at Mucho Mas Art Studio, which is, I believe there might be other artists there, but I think one of the main people there is Crafty Chica and her husband. From 2 to 6, they're having an event. They're going to just be doing all kinds of activities, and it's all ages. And from 6:30 to 9:30, they're moving it over next door to Palabras. So Aqua Night Club, Palabras, and Mucho Mas are all like right there on 17th Street in McDowell. And I believe that was it for my events.
Yeah, moving on. What's the next thing we got on the agenda?
So for the agenda is pickups.
So this week we actually were part of a record show, a small record show that was first time. So it was really neat. It was an okay, obviously it was the first time, so it wasn't going to be perfect, and it wasn't going to be booming and have a whole bunch of place, a whole bunch of people rolling through.
Definitely a learning experience.
Yeah, definitely a learning experience. Promoting is the biggest thing we have to do in the future, and I think that with the next one, we're already planning the next one, we'll be more successful, we'll have more people roll through. But, I talked to all the vendors that did come through, they all made a good amount of money. So they were all pleased, and it was really nice. It was really nice to get to network all these people, talk to them, get to know them. I knew some of the vendors. We had a couple people roll through that spun on the open turntables.
It was a good mix of people. One of the people that did roll through and had messaged me, I think it was actually on my personal Instagram, not the Rares on Records United, because I had reposted it on there, was Durokism, Durokism, and he rolled through and he played some good funk, so that was nice.
Yeah, it was really nice to see someone that I never had met the gentleman, and he just came through. He shopped with a few of the vendors, went up there, spun some records. He brought his daughter with him, so it was cool because our event wants to be is really really family oriented, and
it's supposed to be like inclusive, not just even family oriented, but that is a good thing to totally point out, because this isn't just like a adult only, but it's what I liked too was some of the people that rolled through to buy, and then especially the vendors, it was a good mix of people. It wasn't just like one type of music.
Yeah, there was all sorts of things, so we were really really happy with the turnout we had. We're really, really, really pleased. They're such as did brought us coffee and fun. Thanks to them for coming through. They were the main sponsor of it. So
yeah, so it was kind of like a joint effort of us coming together with them and piecing everything together and just doing it. Also, it was like I said, we did learn a lot, but it was also enjoyable, and it was just really nice. And a lot of the feedback that we got from the vendors, I know you were interacting with them a little bit more than I was, but it just seemed like the consensus was that they liked how laid back and actually community based it was.
Yeah, we really that's what we always want to focus on, that it's going to be community based. We really want to bring as much people as we can. We're just trying to establish it before we start reaching out to more record stores and record stores outside of the city. Because, we don't want people driving from Tucson and, not making any money, or it can be a complete bust.
And not that it's about the money necessarily, but, when you are driving.
Yeah, when you're driving 200
even across
hours,
town, there was Desi from Uncle Aldo's Attic in Mesa. I was, impressed, and it made me so happy that guy drove all the way from freaking Mesa with his stuff. The same with Mike.
The homie Mike, yeah, he came through. And, he was really pleased talking to him. He had some good sales, and he came all the way from the east side just to hang out and, be part of the community. Aaron was there, buddy Aaron, Rudy and Jesse, all those guys, really appreciate them all coming out. Revolver was there. They made a small appearance. We were there selling. But it's really, really cool to see all of us there and hanging out and just talking and, enjoying each other's company. As well as, just the random passerbyers that came by and bought some records.
Yeah, so the only actual formal store, I know Uncle Aldo's Attic, they have, definitely kind of like a record store inside of it, because it's like sort of a Brass Armadillo vibe where they have other antiques, and then they have a huge section where they actually do focus on selling records. It's not like they just shoved them in there. They kind of know what they're doing. But the only formal actual store that was involved was Revolver Records. And I just thought that was neat because they're a local independent store. You know, a lot of people do know about them. I'm not sure. I know the person that rolled through repping Revolver was from the store off of Roosevelt. Like I said, we still haven't visited the Arcadia one, but Felix swears that it's amazing. So we still have to roll through there. We're going to roll through there, guys. But like he said, I'm just kind of reiterating that it was just super cool. The vibe was awesome. And I have a good feeling about the next one, that because we're going to go a little bit more hard on the promo and just do things. And it's not, like we said, it's not about making money. We're not asking, you know, for really anything. It's just about the community and building that. And like we said, it was nice to see the mixture of people, because a lot of these people, they already did know each other. It wasn't like, oh, we brought them together, because everybody knows everybody. But kind of that's our goal. Our end game goal is to get all these people that kind of know each other, but to get them so it's more of a healthy mix and there's more connections and there's more community building. And you know, to get more people in the community, because like we've said before, the only way to keep it alive and to keep all these record stores floating, you know, these indie spots and stuff, is to get new people into the game, or to keep people in the game and to make them feel like they're welcomed.
Yeah, I mean, we really wanted to get more record store, local stores involved, but it was really short notice. We had talked about it with the owner of the cafe, and we talked about it, and he just kind of kickstarted it, and we just went with it. And so, you know, for what it was, it came out really, really good, and we were really, really pleased with everything, and we're really looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, and then thank you so much to Rob at Grand Art Haas, because he was the one that basically just was like, yeah, you know, I think what you guys have wanting to do sounds really great, and I want to be part of it. So thank you so much for letting us use your space. We so gratefully appreciate it.
Yeah, and any of the artists there, really thank you for letting us hang out and just be in your guys' personal space. Yeah. And just hang out and play music. It was really, really nice to have a place where we all can hang out and just not even just sell records, but just talk about records or music. So we're really looking forward to the next one. So keep an ear out. We'll be talking about it later this month.
Yeah, exactly. Like he says, we'll be posting details. And if you want to get involved or anything, you can email us or DM us on the Arizona Records United, or email us at the Just Keep Spinning Podcast at gmail.com. And we can kind of coordinate from there. So where we did go, we just had a lot going on this weekend, even besides the record show, because that was on Saturday.
But going back to pickups, I picked up a few 45s from the homie Jesse Milky Lokes. I picked some 45s up from him, and I believe you picked some LPs off.
I actually didn't get any LPs. I got a comp from Rudy, and then I got a few 12s from Aaron. And I think some of his stuff might have been from Grand Avenue that he was bringing, like kind of like, you know, to push it through. And then I bought some 12s off Mike. And then I know some of the ladies there, they bought some 12s from Revolver. So it was just, like I said, a healthy mix all around, people buying stuff. And I'm not sure what the other people that rolled through. Oh, so I met somebody new this weekend, and she's totally awesome. I followed her on Instagram, but I didn't know her in a formal way. Her name is Jamie. She seems pretty badass, I must say myself. And she bought a lot of stuff off Mike. And she left pretty happy, I will say that. So shout out to Jamie. And her Instagram is CSEEJMELEE. And she does DJing and stuff too. So when I catch more wind of when she's playing, I'll, you know, let people know. And I was able to kind of just see her really quick at Loose Joints, because we did go to Loose Joints.
Yeah, and we'll tag most of the people we're talking about, because that we're talking about first name basis. We'll tag them in
so that you guys can
know them, so that you guys can go out there and follow them. You know, all these guys do their own events or do their own DJing or whatever it may be. So, you know, follow them and support them as well. But yeah, we also went to, so we did the record show, we came home, and then we immediately went out and did other stuff.
Yeah.
So we were pretty busy. We've been having a couple busy weekends, so. But we also went to
Before we went to Loose Joints.
Before we went to Loose Joints, we went to, what was the group's name?
Las Galacas, and their Instagram is LASCALAKAS, Las Galacas.
Yeah, they're like a, what was it, a cumbia fusion band?
Yeah.
It was like a rock you know, a cumbia with a rock fusion.
Like twist or edge to it.
Yeah, it was, so it was really, really neat. It was the first, their first time performing. It was right there in the heart of the West Side, so it was like real down home. Really, really talented guys. Really enjoyed it.
Shout out to the West Side. I say shout out to so many stuff, but we're West Siders, so love the West Side. I got to show you some love.
I mean, yeah, really talented dudes. I believe the bass player was in Fayuca at one point. Yeah, really, really nice. Drummer was going in.
Yeah, everybody kept talking about how everybody enjoyed the band. Everybody was like, there was people dancing, people getting down, but people were extra noticing how the drummer was getting down.
Yeah, he was going pretty hard. He must knock his hi-hat over. He was going so hard. So, you know, shout out to them. Yeah, we're just shouting a lot of people out this week, and that's okay. We're cool with that.
Exactly. We're fine with that. That's the point of the podcast, is to promote everybody else, not necessarily us. So we were there for a bit. We saw them play most of their songs. And then after that, we shot out to downtown at Valley Bar and Loose Joints. And it was Coco, Santos, and I believe Alex Mora. And, of course, wasn't disappointed. There's some interesting stuff going on in the bathroom when I went to the restroom. I just want to say, people, like, I understand you're trying to have a good time, but, you know, be mindful of other people. Just, you know, just have some, you know, etiquette of some sort. Exercise.
Have some bathroom etiquette.
Bathroom etiquette, but other than that.
we're not getting into bathroom etiquette.
Yeah,
today.
I'm not going to get into that. There was a meeting in the ladies' room, okay? And we'll just put it that way, but like I said, other than that, you know, it was good crowd, good energy, good vibe, always good music. And they actually played, you know, they're like, a lot of the stuff they play, they play some deep cuts, but then they play some stuff like you're familiar with and you or even know it. But then hearing it in that setting just changes it, like your perspective almost, or makes you appreciate it more.
Yeah, I mean, it's hearing it like in a different type of setting, hearing it, you know, not necessarily live because obviously it's somebody else's song. But hearing somebody else play it in a different setting.
The way they present it to you.
The way they present it to you, it just changes the, you know, just the way the song feels and, you know, with other music and how it just comes through and then how it's mixed and blended and everything. So it was really, really neat. Coco and the other DJs did a fantastic job, so shout out to them.
Yeah, thank you so much, Valley Bar, for hosting Loose Joints. And I've actually did listen to some new music this week. It's Lost and Found by Georgia Smith. Georgia Smith is from the UK. She's been highlighted with on the, what's it called, the Black Panther soundtrack. She's on there. She kind of has a song, and she's worked with a lot of other artists and done things. I can't remember who else right now, so please forgive me. But she's awesome. She's kind of like, I would say, like, she's definitely R&B, but she has like a lower tempo vibe to her. She's real chill, and she kind of, to me, falls into the category that I call modern sad girl music. So to me, modern sad girl music's like Licky Lee, Kelly Uchis, Lana Del Rey is a big one. But they're not all the same. They don't have the same sound, but they kind of have a similar vibe. And the new Chromeo, Head Over Heels, which is obviously good. Can't go wrong with Chromeo. And then I think I mentioned this already, but I'm not sure. But I want to mention it again. It's Anthony Green. Would you still be in love? Can't get disappointed with Anthony. So that was another new thing I was listening to this week.
A couple things I listened to. I listened to Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer. Actually, really, really good. I got, you know, it was really, really well put together.
I just want to say bravo to you, because I'm so mean and I always give Andrew shit, and I'm always like, you don't listen to female artists or women artists, and he listened to that all on his own, and I haven't even listened to it. So you're ahead of me.
Yay
on that
me.
One. Yay you.
I listened to the Big Crit album, the newest Big Crit album. It came out last year, but I finally got around to listening to it. It's actually pretty good. Really, really well put together again. I know this album came out about 3 years ago, but the Run the Jewels 2, but it's not Run the Jewels, it's Meow the Jewels. I haven't listened to it, and I gotta say, it's pretty fucking hilarious. It's really, you know, different. It was just different mixes of their
originals. So you did or didn't listen to it?
I did listen to it.
Okay.
It's just different mixes of them. If you heard of Run the Jewels, then you know that what Meow the Jewels is. I just finally got around to listening to it.
So it has, they're still, like, it's them, it's their voice, and they're rapping, but the music, the instrumentation is...
Has meows in it. So, yeah, they're just, imagine cats meowing instead of like bass and stuff like that, and they use meows.
But it sounds amazing.
It's interesting and it's funny. I laugh pretty hard. Several parts of it.
And like, I wish we could play it, because he played me like a snippet or two, because he was like, I was just like curious. So before we started recording, I was like, well, what have you been listening to? Because we try not to, we don't pre-rehearse anything or nothing like that, but I was just curious, so I'd asked him beforehand and he had told me about it, and I was like, no, play me a snippet. So he played me some and I was dying laughing, but it sounded cool. But and I was like, I wish we could play it, but we can't.
Yeah, we can't play anything. We're going to look into trying to maybe in the future getting more music on here. It's really hard. We upload everything to iTunes and different media platforms.
Because of licensing.
But there's licensing issues and copyright issues, and we really, really don't want to get sued or get this, you know, our little tiny podcast. Even though
we're nobodies.
We're nobodies. We don't want to get sued. So, you know, we can mention the artist and eventually, hopefully, we can figure something out so we can play music. But as of right now, we're going to do what we can. We will have music soon. We'll be live streaming music on our Mixer channel pretty soon.
What's the Mixer page name?
Just Keep Spinning.
Just Keep Spinning. Okay.
Yeah, so that will be happening. So just keep an eye out for that. We'll be talking about that. We'll be having more events of just homies rolling through playing music. And we're you know, and just events we're at and places we're at, we're going to be taking and playing live as well. And, you know, be streaming whatever we're doing live as well. So hopefully it works out.
Yeah, so
it's something we're working on as well.
Yeah, we're working on that. Like something I know that I wanted to do, because we got a lot of interesting feedback, it was play the, on last week's episode, I mentioned the Galaxy Sound Company 44s that picked up from Grand Avenue, because they're fucking interesting and really cool. And I wanted to play that on the Mixler. So, but if there's anything we ever talk about or we post, or just let us know and say like, hey, do you guys have this? Can you play it? And even if you're just one person and that's, you want to hear it, we can coordinate a good time and we'll play it on the Mixler for you, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're playing music every night anyways. So if you're, like she said, you're just one person that wants to hear that. We do one thing. We probably do it every couple weeks. There is where we get an album. And I call it full side run, and we play the album from side to side nonstop, and that's when we end the album. It's just something we do because there's a lot of tracks on a lot of different albums that people don't know because they just listen to the regular,
yeah, the singles, which the singles, is
which
cool,
is nothing,
yeah,
fine. But we want to make sure to highlight albums that we appreciate fully from start to finish.
Yeah. So, and we'll, once we get kind of things going, we'll have it a little bit more organized. But
One last thing I was listening to new, which is funny, that I didn't get to finish listening to completely, but the new Drake album, Scorpion, dropped like last Thursday or Friday. Have you listened to it?
No, I did listen to Pusha T, because, I don't know, Pusha's cool. Like, I mean, I feel Pusha because of the whole, I don't know, the clips thing, but I did not listen to the Drake, and I know everybody was losing it because it isn't it. It's like basically a double, what would be considered a double album.
So I've only listened to about the first 10 tracks. Some really good tracks, some really like mediocre tracks. I'm not the biggest Drake fan, but for the sake of music, I always try to listen to him because I feel like if I don't listen to him, I'll be out of the loop with music. Like I said, I'm not a big Drake fan. I don't think I'm his demographic of music, or who he's trying to reach. I'm just not him. Not because I only listen to certain types of rappers. It's just I'm just not a big fan of his tone, I guess. But you know, some good music from what I hear. I'm gonna try to listen to the full album this week. So maybe next week I'll give you a full report on what I listened to, and actually give you an honest opinion of what I thought of it. Obviously, these are all, everything we talk about is just opinion based, but so far, it's okay. It's not blowing my mind or making me fucking cry. But, you know, I guess it's doing that to some people.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't even listen to it. I was seeing reactions to it. I've listened to Drake in the past, and I can't say I was ever a Drake fan. I would always tell people, well, he's not making, like when people were like, oh, he fucking sucks, or I hate him. And people make tons of valid points, but I would always tell people, well, he's not really, you know, making music for you. Like, maybe, you know, you don't like it. That's fine. I thought he made good, like, top 40 or club music and stuff like that. But I feel like after Take Care, he peaked. Everyone says it wasn't after that. But to me, he peaked with Take Care. Like, he was in his lane and he did his thing. And, I mean, he kind of ripped off the 808 and Heartbreaks thing from Kanye. And Kanye ripped off Kid Cudi. But that's a whole another topic. But I just feel like I don't buy this new Drake, everything after Take Care to me. And it's not, the production's always amazing. all the input from the producers and his ghostwriters, it's not that bad. But I just feel like it really just feels like it's all an act to me. Like, I don't know. I can't take him seriously. I just not really into it. Like I said, I used to like some of his music and Take Care. I thought it was an amazing album. But not feeling the new Drake stuff. I'm going to listen to it because I listen to Views and I fucking got so bored listening to that. And I was just like, it was one of those albums where it's like, the music's really good, but I feel like if another artist was on this, have you ever felt that way? Like, you're feeling whatever it is, but you're just like, I don't know, the way the delivery is or that particular artist, it just felt like it could have been gone even so much more with another artist maybe being the one behind it.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not a big fan of his tone. The way he raps isn't, you know, I know there's tons of people who love Drake.
We're not judging if anyone likes Drake.
He's just not my demographic. I don't think I fit his demographic of listener. One of the things I always think about when I think of Drake is Wheelchair Jimmy from Degrassi.
Yeah.
So it's hard, you know, when I see him, I'm like, that's a dude from Degrassi. Not saying that, obviously, he has matured and he's an adult and all the other stuff, but I always think about that, so it's hard for me to take him seriously. But like she said, like, she feels like it's more or less like an act. And I kind of feel under the same sense.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Drake's one of those artists that's a vehicle for other actual artists. So Drake's one of those performers, I guess you can say, is that he's actually a vehicle for actual artists because they know if I do this and I put it out, people are going to listen to it. But if I give it to Drake, then it'll blow up. And that's fine. But I'm just saying, I'm just Drake's delivery, I just don't care for. And they say that Drake, a lot of times he tries to imitate too, like a 90s vibe and stuff like that. So I guess we can do the top 10 songs of this week in 1994.
Yeah, we should do that. Go ahead and start. Number five.
Number five is the legendary, who just had her Mac collection released, and I haven't even bothered to pick any up for whatever reason, is Miss Aaliyah. With Miss Leah Houghton with Back and Forth.
Number four this year, 1994, this week, is Don't Turn Around by Ace of Base.
That one is not... I feel like so many of their songs, like those pop hits that they had, that they sounded like almost identical to me. And did you read the whole article about how Ace of Base is a Nazi reference and all the Nazi references and imageries and their songs and videos? Did you ever see that?
No, I've never even heard of that.
It's, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm not like a crazy conspiracy theory person, but it's so convincing that it's like, there's no way that wasn't kind of like their underlining intention. So if I get I'll put the link in the story or something. I'll find the article and have, if I'm telling you, if you have time, read it. Cause it's so convincing. It's just, it has to be true. And let's move on to number three is My Girl, Miss Janet Jackson herself with Anytime, Anyplace, / And On and On. And I actually picked up that 45 this weekend and I did not have it. So that was pretty exciting for me.
Number two is Regulate. My Warren G and Nate Dogg.
Rip to Nate Dogg. One of the ultimate hook man ever. He just had the best hooks.
Yeah, he's, you know, rest in peace, Nate Dogg. Regulate, everyone knows that song. It's a great song.
Exactly. I love that song. It's a classic song. I don't actually think that's one of the 12s I don't have. I don't have number Regulate by Nate Dogg. And the first one, this song reminds me of the Ryan Sprindle movie, Just Friends. And when my kid was little, she was really tiny when it came out, she would crack up when there was a part where Ryan Reynolds is in like the fat suit and he lip syncs to the camera. And I don't know why, my daughter just, she was like one and she just loved watching that part. It's I Swear by All For One.
Yeah, All For One, I Swear. It was like obviously a 90s hit. I don't think they ever did anything else after that.
I feel like I think they had the kind of like one more song that really charted. But yeah, that was their big hit.
They peaked after that.
Exactly.
But moving on.
Yeah, the topic for this week is variants.
So we're going to cover it in two different sections. Three different sections. The first one we're going to cover is like weights, like 180 gram, 200 gram. The second one is going to be colors.
And the third one is going to be, and I know probably most people don't consider it a variant, but I felt like it just kind of, it was a good thing to squeeze in here. It's when it's the LP versus like a box set. So we'll get into that.
So let's get into the first thing, which is weights. So I think the biggest thing that most people see when they go buy a record is it 180 gram? Is it 200 gram? They see all the stickers all over the fucking records.
But what does it mean? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, so that's what we're basically going to talk about here. So 180 grams is the weight, the actual physical weight of the record. They're supposed to be better, but just better records.
So this is my question for you. Does it affect the sound?
So I've read pretty extensively on this. From what I've read, it really doesn't fucking matter. The weight of it doesn't matter because the needle can only go so deep into the actual grooves. They're all cut the same. So if it's a original flimsy-ass original pressing or 180-gram pressing, it's going to sound very, very much the same. There might be a different characteristic because of the height of the record, but overall, it's going to sound the same. It's going to be pretty much the same. I guess the biggest difference is between the durability of the record, how it sets onto the platter, how it tracks. It's just stuff like that.
Like the longevity. So do you get, I don't know if you read up on, because I read up on some of the stuff before, but my question is, so I know it can, 180 gram, it's heavier. So it's like you're saying, it should be a little bit more reliable, maybe less chance of warping. I mean, all records can warp, and especially if you abuse them, don't take care of them. But does it actually affect the playing? You can, in a sense, you can play the shit out of a record and be like, damn, I probably should get a new one. Especially if you're not using, you don't take care of your needles and replace them and all the other stuff. So is 180 gram, is that an advantage to buying that as well?
Well, I think the biggest difference is it's not necessarily the record itself. It's how they're actually, the master they're using. If they're using a digital master track as opposed to an analog master track or the original master track, it's not going to sound the same. So the weight of the record is really not going to affect anything. It's not magic. Yeah, it's not magic. So when I go out and I see 180 gram, I try to get it. It's more durable. It's heavier. It may make you feel, this is a heavy motherfucking sturdy record. Yeah, yeah, it's sturdy.
Which is with the 45, some of them, some of them are thicker. They feel thicker than others. And if I, when I go out and there's, the regular LP and 180 gram, and the only difference is maybe, a buck or two, I don't know. I always just pick up the 180 gram because I just feel like you're saying, it's a little bit more durable.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, but I've talked to a few people. I talked about it with a few people this weekend. Some of the homies, and I said, do you notice a difference in sound? They're like, no, it's just, there's no difference. It just costs a fuckload more, $10 to $15 more. And, if you can, and I'm not saying don't get 180 gram records, by all means, do. There is character, it does have different characteristics. It does feel different. Obviously, it's heavier. But overall sound, I really don't think there's going to be a different sound.
It's overall. You're not upping the game. It's not you are going to get and we're not necessarily talking about represses, because it could be a brand new album where they released just a regular weight version and then they released the 180 gram, because I see that actually a lot. And I feel like it's just a way for them to get people just to buy more. it's an unnecessary thing. It's then why don't you just fucking press? Well, and I guess I could see why the 180 gram would cost just a little bit more. I'm assuming because it's going to cost more to produce, right? Because it's more material technically, because a record is made of vinyl.
Yeah, so it's going to cost a little bit more to make, but overall, it doesn't matter, again, because the stylus only goes so deep into the grooves. That groove can be all the way to the very bottom of the record. The stylus is only going to go as far as it can.
So if you take care of your shit, you should be fine, basically.
Yeah, you should be fine. I mean, not saying don't get 180 gram records. They do have their benefits, but this is just my opinion. It doesn't make a fucking difference in sound.
Now that we're having this conversation, too, I wonder, if it's, in a sense, it's harder to clean. Because they're thicker, or is there more? No, because you're saying that it doesn't matter with the groove, right?
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm saying is that usually the grooves are the same as on 180 gram as there is on a standard. They're not, even if they're cut differently, there's only so much they can do because it's usually just a press that comes down and smashes it, and that's it. See, it just comes down and smashes the mold into the record, into the vinyl, and then that's what it is. And that's going to be the same one, it's just going to be a different weight.
So, I guess after our little convo here on that, my train of thought is, if it's a few bucks extra, I'll go ahead and just get the 180. But if it's like a big price difference, I'm just like, I don't care. I'll just get the regular one.
I mean, yeah, by all means, do whatever you want. I'll get 180. I'll get regular. I really don't care. Whatever's available for me to buy, if I really, really want it, I'll buy. But, you know, that's just, again, this is just opinion based from what I've read. It could be wrong.
If we're wrong, guess what? You can email us at justcasemanypodcast@gmail.com. Drop us a DM on Arizona Records United.
And just talk shit and say you guys are fucking idiots. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Thanks for listening, bud. I really appreciate it. I guess I'm an idiot.
Yeah, and that's fine. You can leave us a review and be like, guess what? You guys are dumbasses and blah, blah, blah. One star. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, we'll take that one star.
Yeah, but
you've listened. And that makes us happy.
That makes me happy. But like we said, if we ever say anything on here, go ahead, feel free to just contact us and, you know, we can elaborate or expand on it more. But this is all like opinion based and stuff that we've researched on. So if there's something different, we always encourage discussion. So another variant, and the most typical way that people, when they actually say variant, what they think of is colors.
Yeah. So colored vinyl. The most recent one we just repurchased was the Black Panther. We went to Target to buy it. Because it was red. I could have bought it from Barnes & Noble.
And it would have been the 180 gram.
The 180 gram.
Like we're just saying.
At Barnes & Noble. But I really wanted the red one. Why? Because it makes me feel more special. Because it's limited and I like to feel special.
He wants to stunt. See? And that's where that comes in. It's like, and there's people where they're more into only collecting the variants. So even if something gets pressed on regular, but it doesn't really get a variant, I've actually seen people that are like, yeah, I only like the ones with the special colors or the splatters. And to me, I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, if you collect and you're really like into collecting, obviously having like that extra special color or variant, especially if it's more limited, it's like, yeah. And it's not anything where it's like you have to feel special, but everybody is like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, stunt. You're like flexing, you're showing up with it because someone, you know, it's usually the regular black record is obviously the standard and the variants are usually a little bit more limited. And sometimes they're exclusive, like only on Record Store Day or only at Urban Outfitters, which is a big thing because it seems like Urban Outfitters, a lot of the stuff that they get is exclusive variants.
They're getting exclusive variants and exclusive artists. The NSYNC that we were just talking about not too long ago.
That I wanted. He didn't want it. I still want it. I don't care. You can talk shit.
What was only released at Urban Outfitters. Urban Outfitters has like a... Maybe it's because they've had records and vinyl for a while now before it's like it's been really booming. They've had it for, what, like 5 or 6 years now, it feels like?
Yeah, they've had it for a long time.
Yeah, so, you know, they kind of have like a... They're getting all these exclusives.
Hot Topic gets exclusives.
Hot Topic is Target's earning exclusives. Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, all these places are getting exclusives for their own specific colors, which is neat because, like I said, if you can get the regular one, get the regular one. But, you know, if you want to feel special, which everybody does, I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I don't sit here and be like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. But like we said, if you can get... If anyone, right?
Yeah, if you can get a colored record and you can be like, oh, and you're just talking to your buddies and they're like, oh, did you get that new record? Whatever it may be. But yeah, you know, yeah, I went and bought it at, you know, let's say at the local record spot. Like, well, you know, I went to Urban and I paid the extra $10 so I can get the colored one. And you can, that guy may be like, well, why did you spend the extra $10? It's like, well, motherfucker, I wanted the color one and I have it and you don't. So, you know, eat a dick.
I noticed too, I feel like, before variants were much more limited, but I feel now, especially with the whole Urban Outfitters getting a lot of exclusives, that they're not as exclusive, like the variant colors.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that as well. There used to be about like 250 to 500 pressings just of any other...
Anything under 1,000, basically.
Yeah, it was. But I think now it's becoming more common for record places, whoever's carrying records, to, you know, have their own little different color special to them. And it's neat. And like I said, it's but I think eventually it's going to kind of, you know, trend downwards, that, you know, just get what you can get. I just, depending on the situation, if I can get a colored one, I will. But if I can't, then, you know, no big deal. I'm not going to go on Discogs and seek out a colored version of it and overpay $70 just so I can have the colored one. Not anymore, at least. Have I done that in the past? I'm not going to lie, I have. But usually,
you go through phases, right?
But usually it was something that I'd have to pay for because it wasn't printed at the time, and then it gets repressed, which is a different subject for a different day. And, you know, we then, you know, we're like, oh, you know, but we still have that exclusive. So, you know, with that exclusive color, like my Coheed and Keeping Secret to Silent Earth.
That's your way of a variant of that? So do we have two copies or one?
We have the original. We have, so the, it was the original copy. There was three colors. It was clear, the cream skull, which is orange and white, and then the blue one. We have the orange and white, and there's only like 300 of each one. We own the orange and white. So for the longest time, I felt really fucking special because I had not only the record that hadn't been repressed, but I had the orange and white one.
Which we have a guest coming up in the works, and we kind of have them locked in, and the subject is going to be represses, so look forward to that.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that more. But
so that's why we're not touching too much on the represses.
Yeah, so but that's one of the things that, you know, I felt fucking special when I had it. Then they, you know, they repressed it, and they had a whole bunch of different colors and all this other bullshit, but I still have one of the original ones in the orange and white, and I still feel fucking special. So,
but he was a little, I'm not going to lie. So he was a bit sour. So I bought him, it was a gift. I don't know if it was like birthday, Father's Day, or Christmas. It was either your birthday or Christmas. The reason how I ended up getting the In Keeping Secrets, that original press, like you're saying, but when it was getting repressed, like, okay, so here's the thing. He kept saying, like, oh, I hope they do this. I hope they do this. Like, I hope they, you know, release it again. And then once they released it again, he was kind of, like, sad. But it's still, people still are impressed. I'm not going to lie.
It's still a very desirable record. I think the only one that's more desirable is a tour edition they had that was gold that I tried to buy when we went to see them in Riverside, and they were sold out.
Yeah, we drove all the way to Riverside because we're weird like that. We don't care. And it was a really good, it was a freaking amazing show. I'll never forget that because I think that was the only time, that was the first time I saw Coheed. I'd never seen them before. You had seen them before, right?
Yes, in the past.
Yeah, we love Coheed. I know sometimes people like meet us and they're always like, oh, what do you collect? We collect all, you know, we're all over the map. So, is there anything else that you have that's like a color variant that makes you, like you said, feel that fuzzy feeling inside?
I think we have a few Circus Survives that are really rare. Again, they've been repressed several times. I really appreciate Circus Survive for doing that too, because you know what? Their records were getting like out of fucking control expensive at one time.
Yeah, we have some, we have some good stuff from them. I think we almost have a complete collection of certain.
Yeah, we have all their collection. But, you know, so, you know, those are the things that with color variants, again, don't care who you are, you're going to feel a little special, a little warm fuzziness.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not like a snobby thing because I have seen some people who are snobby about it, which, like we said, we're always frowning upon snobbiness and elitism. So it's like there's nothing wrong with feeling special, but don't be ridiculous and be like, well, I got this and no, fuck your regular one. Like, who cares about that?
Yeah, there was an Instagram person that was like posting about it and talking about how rare it was and also the bullshit. It's like, bro, I have the same one and I never talked about it. So you just need to take a deep breath.
Yeah, so I would say my extra special ones off the top of my head that we have that are actually variants. I have a Boys Night Out, Make Yourself Sick. Fucking love Boys Night Out. Wish they released a new album, but I didn't really listen to it. But anyways, everything else they made was really good. I have, it was limited to 1,000 copies, the record itself, Make Yourself Sick. And 700 were blue. and 300 were blue and black swirl, and I have like the blue one. So that was a big find for me, and I randomly found that damn thing at Revolver like years ago. And I remember when I came across it, I just couldn't believe that I had that stupid ass record in my hands, and it was cheap as hell. And now that thing is like, it's pretty desirable. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I mean, those are the things, you know, those moments of finding that, you know, that type of record.
The dig.
That dig. You know, that's why I always say don't stop digging and just keep spinning all the good stuff. Yeah. But, you know, those are the things that we hope to find.
Yeah, and gems. Another thing that I found at InGroove was a red, it's like translucent red 45 of Janet Jackson. I want to say it was That's the Way Love Goes. Remember the 7-inch I have? Okay. That's another one that I love pulling that one out and showing that one to people. So I guess off the top of my head, those are the two like variants that I have that I really enjoy showing off.
Yeah. Not saying we flex all the time, but you know.
Yeah, I don't.
We don't. We will post just normal records and, you know, just show people from what we have in our collection. But the people we, I guess you could say, quote, flex on are people we know personally. We're not posting on the internet. And it's more
of like a joking way, because everybody does that. Like, you get around people that collect and stuff, and you just kind of give each other a hard time about stuff. You know, just like a good, it's like a friendly thing.
Yeah.
Joking around and stuff. And like we said, it's more of a self thing. And I don't know. So, like, sometimes people think like we have a lot of stuff, but we know people who have way more stuff than us.
Yeah, so, you know, we're always surprised to meet new people, and they're like, oh, you know, well, what kind of, you know, how many records do you have? I'm like, oh, we have a good amount of records, but they're like, well, I have more than that.
I honestly don't even know how much we have, but I know it's just not as much as some other people, and that's the collecting, though, you know, it's just like, you don't have to have a lot of records to be a collector and stuff like that, you know? Everybody's welcome in the culture and the community, whether you only collect variants or you only collect 180 gram or you just collect whatever, or you only collect one type of music. You know, we're here for everyone. That's what we're here for. And
the last thing was what? Box sets, right?
So, yes. So, like, for instance, the main thing that sparked my interest on this was an LP versus, like, a box set. So sometimes I've noticed, and I wish that, like, this happened more, because when there's, like, the 12-inch LP and then there's the box set of the 7-inches, and because the whole, I don't know, when you collect 45s, it's like a whole nother ball game. Totally different game than collecting just 12 inches, whether it's LPs or singles. But I think it's so cool when they do that, when they press an LP and then they do like a box set of 45s.
Yeah, I think that it's just something different. You don't see it very often. I'll see box sets with all the different LPs. Like the Rolling Stones just had one recently where they have everything. You can buy all their LPs in a whole entire box set. But splitting the LP into like separate records, I think that's super neat. Don't see it very often, but that is something that is a different, like you said, variant
you will see. Do we have anything? I think our Liquid Swords, right?
Yeah, the Liquid Swords is what we have that's split into multiple things.
And we got that from when Record Room was still located in Scottsdale. We got that on Record Store Day. And actually, Brett was the one that kind of was like, because he was like walking the line, like, should I buy it? Like, I really want to buy it, but should I? Because it wasn't crazy expensive, but it wasn't exactly, you know, like regularly priced, obviously, because it's like a box set of 12s. But Brett basically tipped the scales and was like, come on, buddy, like, you're going to regret it. And he's so happy that he ended up getting it, because we have that and it's an amazing box set because it comes with like chess pieces and stuff.
Yeah, it was like super neat. So when you can and you can afford, it's just like a special edition of like anything, like like even like a video game that has like some special collector's edition. That's basically what it is. And so sometimes you'll get those special collector's editions and they're super neat, because they come with a whole bunch of other bullshit and books and stuff like that. But if you don't have the money and you're not a huge fan of them, and
you just don't care
and you don't give a fuck about that stuff, just get the basic ass version. Don't get the 180 gram. Don't get the color variant.
You can
just get
do, the fucking, whatever
do whatever you do. You do you. But what I'm saying, just do
there's
what
nothing
got.
Wrong with buying the basic like press of the LP. Yeah, because it and all these like the boxes and stuff, obviously. And what's neat, I think, about them is that it's just like a little bit extra care and attention goes into them because. That's why they cost a little bit more money, not even just because there's more records you're getting technically, but because the packaging is usually, because I love packaging. I don't know about you, but I love looking at like album covers and or just seeing when something's like a double gatefold or if there's inserts. Like I'm a sucker for all that stuff. So like if I have a regular press and I just bought it whenever I did, like whether it was originally released or whatever. And, like, something gets re-released, but it has cool-ass packaging. I'm the type where I'm a sucker for marketing. So, I'm like, man, like, I am kind of tempted to buy that, even, you know, though I already have it and I'll pick it up, depending on what it is. So, it's always nice to kind of, the extra TLC for them to put it into that and all the thought that goes into it. Because that's a part of the experience, too, is, like, when you buy, like, a record or an album. Or even, like, back in the day when CDs were still a thing. Best Buy, I believe, just stopped selling CDs.
Yeah, rest in peace, Best Buy CDs.
Oh, I know. So,
rest in peace, Toys R Us, too. That just happened this past week.
Toys R Us, Jeffrey the Giraffe. I'm sorry. So sad. But just the experience of, like, going to the store and picking up, like, even the cassette, technically, because that had inserts, too. But picking it up and then reading the liner notes and all that other stuff. And like we said, we're not knocking digital formats, whether it's, you know, people who exclusively listen to music on their phone or people who DJ with a controller or anything like that. It's just like there's always, to me, something just special about sharing music or buying it and that experience of going to the store and getting it and opening it. And it's like when you get things like LP box sets, it to me, it's just like an extension of the experience because there's just always, like I said, that little extra care and attention that goes into that kind of stuff. And there's some people that think what I'm saying is corny as fuck and stupid, and that's okay with me. We all have our own opinions on it, but I just thought I really wanted to touch on that because I really wish that they would kind of offer more box sets in a sense like that.
I mean, hopefully with the resurgence of vinyl records coming up, it's already been like a thing, but it's like growing so fast, especially here in Phoenix. So, you know, hopefully, you know, different box sets and these, you know, big companies, big record labels will start doing more stuff with these artists. We don't know, you know, we don't know what the future holds. You know, vinyl sales can drop off to zero tomorrow for all we know. But we can hope and just keep looking forward and hope, you know.
Keep furthering the culture and getting, you know, because people are always going to come and go into it. And some people, maybe they'll stop buying, but they'll never get rid of their collection and they'll just keep it as is. And it's just kind of, we always bring everything, pivot back to that. The point of the podcast is just to contribute to the culture in a positive way. That was the point in us kind of jointly doing the record show with that was hosted by and sponsored by Tres Leches Cafe. And just getting people into it, making people feel welcome, friendly vibes, showing that it doesn't have to be like this big old thing of like, oh, you know, you have to have these types of speakers or you have to buy variants or you have to buy 180. You know, everybody's welcome. There's room for everybody to do their own thing. There's so many lanes and, you know, just have fun with it.
Yeah, so I think that kind of wraps up what we want to talk about with that.
But there's someone extra special that we don't know that we wanted to give a ginormous shout out to.
Yeah, so we, through Audio Boom, through our analytics, we can see who's listening. You know, there is some people out there listening that we don't know, so shout out to whoever is listening to us.
Yeah, we're shocked and amazed that there's actually people listening to us ramble on that. Because did you just say right now there's only three people that we actually know that listen to the podcast?
Yeah, there's people we don't know that actually listen to this. And so we're like, oh shit, there's people we don't know that listen to this. So going through it, and it tells you, like, you know, generally tells you where other people are listening at. And we have somebody out there in this whole entire world in Canada listening to us. And, you know, that one Canadian person, if you're listening today, shout out to you for listening to us. Say hi, comment, like, whatever it is. Say hello to us and let us know that you're listening because we really appreciate you.
Yeah, and no matter who you are, because I don't know who any of these other people are, because all we know is Monica, Melissa, and David. Yeah. And but so it's like there's actually is a good amount of people listening, and I just we would like to know who you are so we can, you know, just say thanks and stuff like that.
Yeah, and guys, you know, we have like Dre had said before, we have somebody coming up in the next couple weeks. We have a guest coming up to talk about things. We're really excited for that. We're gonna see if we can get somebody else on here next week. We don't know, you know, that we do this kind of we play this kind of by ear, but we're planning all of our guests out, and you know, we're really. Really, really trying to push this forward, and hopefully it, you know, keeps moving forward.
Yeah, and bring you guys content that you really want to hear, like interesting stories and stuff like that, because we just want to highlight other people. We don't, you know, I mean, obviously we're getting some listens with us kind of covering topics and talking to each other, but the whole point is that we started this to highlight people in the record community. Because even though, like we said, we talk a lot about local things like Phoenix and Arizona and whatnot, like we are still gonna be not necessarily highlighting events elsewhere. Like we might if it's like a huge event, like a festival or something, but even talking just to anybody that's in the culture. So if you're in the record culture at all or community, and you know, you feel like it would be beneficial, like you to have a platform, maybe you collect records and you're really excited about that, you know, just reach out to us and we can have a rapport and talk and things like that. So don't be afraid to reach out to us. We're excited that people, like I said, are actually listening to us. So if you want, like I said, you can contact us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. Our Instagram handle is still Arizona Records United. That I'm pretty sure that's going to change soon. So when it does, we'll update you. And you can listen to us on
iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Radio, and Audio Boom. Apparently, there's something else called... There's another app.
I think it's Podcast Addict.
Podcast Addict that someone's listening to. That somebody found us through something. And listen to us. So, you know, appreciate whoever did that.
Yeah, so don't get freaked out when we're like, oh, this person's listening on this, because we have no clue like who it is. It doesn't really tell us much. So, but we just want to say, like we said, thank you so much for taking the time out to listen. And please subscribe us, rate us, give us feedback, you know, interact with us. Don't be afraid. Contact us and, you know, we'll reach back out. And I guess don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Yeah, thanks, guys.